I certainly want to join with Doug in expressing appreciation for the presence of each and every one that is here this afternoon. I don't know of anything better that we could be doing this afternoon than assembling ourselves together as this, and it's certainly encouraging to me to see those who are visiting with us from other places. There are two ladies in the audience that I just have to say something about before we get into the lesson. One, Charlotte Flowers. Her husband Jesse and I were dear friends down in South Florida. I mentioned this morning about the time we spent in South Florida. And Jesse and Charlotte were in that area at the same time. And Jesse and Bobby Thompson, F.O. White, and I became very dear and close friends there. And got to spend time with Jesse after he moved to Bowling Green. And so we certainly miss him, and we love his family so very much. His son has been with us already twice in gospel meetings at Belleville since I've been there. And the other one I introduced is my sister. And I think people had raised eyebrows when I did that. Cynthia Lanius, her husband David Lanius, preaches down in Tennessee. But her father, L.E. Sloan, was the one who encouraged me to start preaching the gospel some years ago. I don't want to embarrass Cynthia by telling how many years ago that was, but 1959 was a long time ago, wasn't it? But anyway, it's certainly encouraging to see her, and her father became a second father to me. And so we love and appreciate her so very much. But it's good to see each and every one of you here. But we're not. I'd like to spend a lot of time reminiscing, but that's not our purpose of being here. Our purpose in being here is to study God's Word. Tonight, this afternoon, we're going to talk about one of the great blessings that we enjoy. Paul simply refers to it as blessings in Christ. The first chapter of the book of Ephesians is filled with this particular thought of the blessings that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, the Apostle Paul tells us that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. There's not a single one that we enjoy outside of Christ. And I wonder sometimes if we take the time to appreciate just what all is involved in that expression, blessings in Christ. So we're going to be looking this afternoon at some of the blessings that we enjoy in Christ. I want to first of all look at some of the expressions that Paul uses here in this particular chapter. He talks about blessings in Christ, blessings in Him, blessings in whom? Blessings in the Beloved. Over 10 times in this chapter, Paul uses this phrase or these words in expressing the blessings that we enjoy in Christ. Now, what do we mean when we talk about blessings in Christ? We often use this preposition in and talking about location. We were outside the building, so we came into the building, and so now we are in the building. And certainly that is a thought that can be expressed, and there are thoughts that can be presented along that line. But I really believe that this expression, in Christ, involves more than just what we think of as location. Let us look at the meaning of the word. For example, Thayer, in his Greek lexicon, defines this word as of that in which any person or thing is inherently fixed, implanted, or with which it is intimately connected. It is that last thought that I want to focus upon in regards to being in Christ. I've often made the statement that I believe the Bible is its own best commentary. And I believe Jesus gives us a very good commentary on this expression, being in Him. Over in the 15th chapter of the book of John, it is in that particular chapter that Jesus says that I am the vine and ye are the branches. And He emphasizes in those verses that in order for the branch to bear fruit, that it must be in the vine. But at the same time, the vine must be in the branch. Well, what do we mean when we talk about the branch being in the vine? Do we mean that we take the knife and cut the vine open and then we stuff the branch inside of it and so now the branch is in the vine? Well, we know that's not the idea. The idea is that the branch must be in connection with the vine. It must have that relationship. And when that relationship is severed, that is, the branch is no longer in the vine, the branch withers. It dies. It's not going to produce fruit. There's a fellow by the name of Linsky that wrote a series of commentaries on the New Testament. And any place that he has this expression, in Christ, he uses the expression, in connection with, emphasizing this idea of relationship. That when we are in Christ, we have this relationship with Christ. We are in connection with. Just like that branch must be in the vine, we must be in Christ Jesus to enjoy these blessings that we're going to be talking about in our lesson this afternoon. But let's take a look now at what the Bible teaches in regards to these blessings in Christ. What are some of the blessings that we enjoy in Christ? First of all, Paul says in verse 4, that according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So here Paul uses the expression that we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So when he talks about us being chosen in Christ, what does that mean? We have some in the religious world that teach the doctrine of individual selection or predestination for ordination. And they'll say even before the foundation of the world, John Doe was decided that he was going to be one of the elect, and that was foreordained, and thus God has chosen those that are going to be saved and those that are going to be lost, and there's nothing we can do about it. If that's so, then why are we here? Why does Paul exhort us and say that he was involved in and wants us to follow his example of persuading men? If men can't be persuaded, if they don't have any choice, if everything's already been predestined for ordained, then we certainly can't persuade individuals. Of course, the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches predestination, foreordination, but that predestination or foreordination was that even before the foundation of the world, God foreordained his plan for the redemption of mankind. That in Christ Jesus, men were going to be reconciled unto him, have their sins forgiven. Now, it's up to us as to whether or not we're going to do what the Bible teaches that we need to do in order to be in Christ Jesus, and we'll talk about that a little later on. But this is one of the blessings. We are the elect, the chosen of God. If that's so, then if we're not in Christ, then what's the conclusion? We are rejected. But let us look at something else that Paul says about the blessings in Christ Jesus. Over in Romans, the 8th chapter, in verse 1, the Apostle Paul said that in Christ Jesus there is no condemnation. But if we're not in Christ, then what is the necessary conclusion? If there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, then outside of Christ, if we're not in that relationship that Paul refers to as being in Christ, then we are condemned. Not only is there no condemnation to those that are in Christ, but the Bible also teaches that we are a new creature in Christ. Over in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Paul deals with this in the latter part of the 4th chapter of the book of Ephesians when he talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And there are so many places in Paul's writings where he talks about our being in Christ as being a new creature, our new creation in Christ Jesus. in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans. I don't have it on the chart, but you may want to note in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, where Paul talks about the fact that we are buried with Christ by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so, he says, we walk in newness of life. That is, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. But what's the necessary conclusion? If we're not in Christ, then we're still that old man. We haven't put off the old man. We haven't put on the new man. But let me emphasize something else there in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. When Paul talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man, you know, sometimes people think that all that is involved in being in Christ and being a Christian is that there are things that we don't do. I don't lie, I don't steal, I don't kill, I don't drink, I don't do this, I don't do that. But note there in Ephesians 4, for everything that Paul says that is to be put off with that old man, he emphasizes something that is to be put on with the new man. We're not to lie, but what? Speak the truth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what? But that which is unto edifying. Don't steal. Let him that stole steal no more, but what? But rather let him labor, working with his hands, that which is good. And so for every bad thing that he emphasizes that is to be put off, he emphasizes something good that is to be put on. So it's not just enough to refrain from the bad and from that which we ought not to do. But we must do that which is good and that which is right. But this is another blessing that we have in Christ. We are a new creature, literally a new creation in Christ Jesus. Not only that, but we have our redemption. Going back here to that first chapter of the book of Ephesians, there in verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, in whom, that is in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Paul emphasized that same point over there in Romans, the 6th chapter. He says there in verse 16, he says, know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey. And then he goes on in the very next verse and says, but thanks be to God that whereas you were something, you were servants of sin. But what happened? He said, you obeyed from the heart the form of teaching delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And so we have this redemption. We have this freedom from sin in Christ Jesus. That is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter emphasized that we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. But we are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul emphasizes this so many places. He talks about the one who knew no sin being made to be sin for us. What does it mean that the one who knew no sin was made to be sin for us? Not too long ago, I heard a preacher on TV talking about that particular verse. And he said when Jesus was hanging on that cross, that he was the greatest sinner that was ever upon the face of this earth, because as he was hanging on that cross, he had the sins of all mankind upon him. I don't believe a word of that. Jesus was sinless. And thus he was able to be that perfect and sinless sacrifice for the sins of mankind. That's the reason that he could be the sacrifice for you and for me, because he knew no sin. And so when Paul said that the one who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that is, he was made to be the sin sacrifice for us. He offered himself as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. But he was that spotless, perfect, pure Lamb of God that could offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. And so that's how we have that redemption in Christ Jesus. Another point that Paul makes here in this chapter is that in Christ Jesus we have an inheritance. Look down with me, if you will, to verse 11. In whom, he says, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Thus in him, that is in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. Peter talks about this in 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. As he talks about that inheritance that's incorruptible, that fadeth not away, that is reserved in heaven for you. Also, the Apostle Paul, in his writings to the Romans again, over in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, deals with this same thought in Romans 8, beginning in verse 16. He says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And so in Christ Jesus, we have this inheritance. We become heirs of God, joint heirs, Paul says, with Christ Jesus. Do you ever stop to think about what it means to be a child of God? To be an heir of God, to be a joint heir with Christ Jesus? That's what Paul says we are. Where? In Christ Jesus. That's one of the great lessons that we enjoy in Christ. But let's go back to Ephesians 1 again. Well, there's another thing that Paul mentions here, that he says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at verse 13. In whom, that is in Christ, ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What does he mean that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit? Some of our religious friends say, oh, that means that once you're in Christ, you're sealed and nothing can happen, and it's impossible for you to be lost. No, that's not what it talks about. Have you ever heard some of these ads on TV where they're advertising maybe a particular product for the house, and they'll say it has received the good housekeeping seal of approval? What does that mean? The good housekeeping has put their seal of approval upon that particular product. Wouldn't it be great to have the Holy Spirit to put their stamp, his stamp of approval upon you? We talked about this morning how that the Holy Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Who knows the things of God save the Spirit of God that is in him? How wonderful it is that we can know that we can know the mind of God. But here the Holy Spirit has revealed the mind of God. He has told us what we need to believe. He's told us what we need to do in order to be accepted of God. And when we submit our lives in obedience to those things that the Holy Spirit has revealed, that stamp of approval is upon us. I read that passage there in Romans 8 just a moment ago. And I think that this is a good place to bring it in again. Remember, the Apostle Paul said that the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What does the Holy Spirit bear witness to? The Holy Spirit bears witness to that which we must do or believe to be right in the sight of God. What does our spirit bear witness to? Our spirit bears witness to what we have or have not done. So when we examine the testimony of the Holy Spirit, and then my spirit is in complete agreement with that which the Holy Spirit has revealed, then the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. That's how I can know that I'm right. That's how I can know that I am saved. I can remember going to a tent meeting down in Tampa, Florida several years ago. And this fellow was up preaching, and he was supposedly quoting this particular passage. And he says, "Oh, Paul said that the Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God." A little later on in that same service, they had an opportunity for comments from the audience, and I raised my hand and I asked if he intended to misquote that particular passage or if he wanted to reread it. And he said, "Escort that young man out of the service, please." He didn't want people to know that he had misquoted the passage. Now, Paul did not say the Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. He says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And it's only when our spirit can bear witness to the fact that we have done what the Holy Spirit has revealed that we must do, that we can honestly and truthfully say that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, as Paul emphasizes here in verse 13. The Holy Spirit of promise. Another blessing that Paul talks about that we have in Christ is that we are reconciled unto God. This word reconcile means to make peace or to be at peace. And Paul often referred to his preaching as the ministry of reconciliation. We see this over in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, "And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation." And he goes on then to talk about his and the other apostles' role as ambassadors of Christ. He says, "Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, be ye reconciled to God." Sin separates man from God. The prophet of old said, "Your sins and iniquities have separated between you and your God." And thus, for us to be reconciled unto God, for us to be at peace with God, that which brought about that separation must be removed. And thus that sin must be removed so that we can be at peace with God. Paul continues on over in the second chapter of this same book of Ephesians in talking about that it is not only is it in Christ, but it is in the one body that we are reconciled unto God. These are some of the blessings that we enjoy in Christ. I guess if you wanted to sum up all of these blessings that we enjoy in Christ Jesus, it could be summed up in this word, and that is our salvation. Sin has separated us from God, makes it impossible for us to be acceptable in His sight as long as we have sin. But when that sin is removed and reconciliation takes place, then we enjoy salvation in Christ. Listen to how Paul describes it over in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and verse 10. "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Jesus, when he was here on earth, there in Luke 19, said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's all of us. Because Paul affirmed that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we can have that salvation. We can have that reconciliation. We can have that redemption. We can have all of these blessings that we've talked about tonight. How wonderful it is. We enjoy these blessings in Christ Jesus. Suppose I stopped right now. Somebody says, oh, to have such blessings, how wonderful that would be. Yep, sure would. But how do we enter into Christ? Suppose I said, I'm not going to tell you. I want to know. I want these blessings. And these blessings are in Christ. They're in that relationship that you have referred to as being in Christ. But how do you enter Christ? How do you enter into this relationship? What profit would the lesson be if we talked about all of these blessings that are to be enjoyed in Christ, but we didn't tell people how to enter into that relationship? As we pointed out in our study this morning, the Bible is all sufficient. And so if that's a question that you want the answer to, we need to go to the Bible and find the answer. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans and also to the Galatians, emphasized that it is in Christ Jesus that we're justified by faith. That it is by a system of faith that we are the children of God. That we have this salvation. That we have these blessings that we've talked about this afternoon. And there in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, after he has established this fact that it is in Christ that we are the children of God by faith, he says there in verse 26 that we are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There's that relationship that we talked about. Sometimes people read that and they say, oh, what Paul's saying is that we are the children of God by having faith in Christ. Well, yes, we must have faith in Christ. But the point that he has been establishing up to this point is that we are the children of God by faith. And now he says that we are the children of God by faith in this relationship that he refers to as being in Christ. So it is in Christ that we are the children of God by faith. Well, Paul, how do we enter that relationship? As Brother A.C. Grider used to say, read the next verse. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We have so many in the religious world today who tell us that baptism is unimportant, unnecessary. And when you consider what the Bible teaches, in essence what they're saying is all of those things we've talked about this afternoon are unimportant and unnecessary. Because all of the things that we've talked about this afternoon are in Christ, that is, in that relationship. And Paul very simply tells us that we enter into that relationship by being baptized into Christ. Going back to Romans 6, he says the same thing there. We're baptized into Christ, buried with him by baptism in the dead, that like as he was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So there's how we enter into that relationship that Paul refers to as being in Christ. That all-important question, what must I do to be saved, is answered by saying, what must I do to be in Christ? Because those blessings that we've talked about tonight simply has reference to those blessings that we enjoy as a child of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Certainly that's necessary for you to be able to be baptized into Christ. Are you ready to repent of your sins? Turn away from those things that have separated you from God. Are you willing to confess that faith that you have in him as the Son of God? Then you can be baptized into Christ, into that relationship that Paul refers to as being in Christ, and have all of these blessings that we've talked about this afternoon. If you haven't done that, it's our hope and prayer that you will do so before it is everlastingly too late. If you've done this and have been unfaithful, maybe you haven't continued to live as one that should live in Christ Jesus, then you need to repent and pray to God for forgiveness. If you need to obey his will in any way, we encourage you to come right now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.